Let us pray. Rabboni, teacher, we have spent the past 6 weeks asking questions. We have turned over every rock. We have shined a light in every dusty corner. We have opened the blinds. We have wrestled with the truth. We have sought after you. So on this Easter morning, bring wisdom to our seeking. Move through this room until the walls echo with the sound of alleluias. Roll back the stones that might prevent us from drawing us closer to you. Calm our hearts, say our names, awaken us to your presence in our midst. Alleluia. Amen.
Amen.
Our Psalter reading this morning is from Psalm 118. Listen for God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he does not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteousness shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stones that the builders rejected have become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Let's listen again for God's living word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. On this most special morning, speak to us and place your word upon our hearts. Amen. What is the darkest place you can imagine? A room with the shades pulled down? Maybe blackout curtains. The sanctuary when it was draped in black on Thursday, stripped of the symbols of faith. A cloudy night with no moonshine to be found. Maybe sitting on a boat far out at sea on a starless night. Or exploring a cave with no illumination. Have you ever been on one of those tours where they get you deep down inside and turn off the lights? Pitch total blackness. Or maybe the true darkness of a sealed tomb. Darkness may seem like a really odd place to begin on Easter Sunday. And yet, that is exactly where our scripture begins today. Early in the day, while it was still dark, the night hasn't given way to the sun, but the hope of the day is lingering. Mary and the other disciples are sitting in a stew of emotion. They're in grief. They don't yet understand. Their world probably felt really, really dark. Today's text embraces that grief. Jesus honors that sadness, our genuine, real feelings. Our scripture dives deep with how each of us handle what loss can feel like. Mary wanted to stay busy and do all the right things for the body that had been rushed into the tomb to respect Sabbath. A stone rolled away disrupts her processing. The only thing that she can possibly imagine is grave robbers. The whole focus this morning is that empty tomb and what we are looking for when we encounter it. Asked what I was preaching on this morning, earlier in the week, I shrugged. I don't know. Surprisingly, instead of a joke, that felt more true this year. In a week of fog and rain, the lovely prayer shawl ladies asked me to preach something hopeful. Tall order that, when it feels more like the foundations and the ground that we are standing on are eroding faster than we can keep up with the news cycle, if there's even such a thing as a cycle these days. Yet, historian Howard Zinn writes, "To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based upon the fact that in human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. With a world gone mad, where are you looking for hope?" Jesus doesn't ask us to put aside our feelings and our true selves, but promises to be with us, even in the messy, even with it might feel hopeless. We build so much in our lives to protect and safeguard from the feelings that we would rather avoid. The anger, the hurt, frustration, or sadness are true selves that may not feel like enough. Sometimes it takes a movie or a character to jolt us out of realizing that the real people we are, our quirky, genuine selves, not as polished and smooth or as immune from the hurt as of the world that we would like to pretend frequently. The real is okay. The messy is loved. So I know I'm really late to the game, but due to a technological glitch on a 15-hour flight last week from my vacation, I had the opportunity to binge watch the entire first season of Ted Lasso. Yeah, I'm kind of late to the game, I know. Ted is typical of us humans. He runs to the other side of the world to give his wife space that she had asked for. In the process, he's able to hold on to his hope and optimism that that relationship might not really be ending. In a ridiculous turn, this completely unqualified football coach from America is now in charge of a European football soccer coach. And as he avoids looking straight into all of the negative that he encounters on a daily basis, that he knows is right before him, in many of the people and the relationships that he is thrust into, instead, he has a ministry of presence. He slowly gnaws away at the walls of everyone in his new little hometown, and even in their fan base. He has a smile for everyone and remembers the real, true them. Lasso brings the hope to the team. Not in an in-your-face approach, like you better be hope or else, but in a goofy, good-hearted way that slowly erodes away at the walls of the players, the owners, and all of the people he encounters on a daily basis. In many ways, he would be considered a buffoon. Good-intentioned, bumbling, as he bounces from one error to the next. Our biblical buffoon is Peter. He's right on point for his norm in this text today. He races to the tomb and barges right on in. In his grief, he enters, sees the linens and the headcloths folded. He exits and returns back to whatever it was he was doing before. The other, the beloved disciple, works up courage to enter after Peter comes out, and seeing the same things, he believes. We aren't told exactly what he believes, because he too returns immediately to what he was doing before Mary interrupted his mourning. The scripture tells us that they did not yet understand that Jesus must rise from the dead. I can be Mary right now. Imagine her frustration. She ran to get help from an empty tomb. And the tears she's been managing to hold back finally overflow. These disciples raced up here, looked in, and left. Come on, guys. Not knowing what to do, she finally looks into the tomb as well. But for her, it isn't empty. Angels. When asked by the angels why she's crying, she takes everything in stride. Instead of freaking out that these white beings are sitting in what was supposed to be an empty tomb, she describes exactly the problem. They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where to find him. When she turns, Jesus is there. I can only imagine that Jesus cared enough that he knew Jesus was not going to be deterred by move stones, bumbling disciples, or even angels in white. She needs her friend, her Lord, and her teacher, Rabuni. Her walls and her grief are not pierced until she hears Jesus say her name. She gasps, "Teacher." Jesus loves her that much to be there with and for us in ways that we need. Jesus meets us where we are and journeys with us in all our true feelings, whatever those might be. Whether we doubt, whether we know that we believe something, or that we're frantically searching, Jesus is with us. As Barbara Lundblad says about this gospel, John leaves room for each of us, for one who sees and believes, another who sees and leaves uncertain, and one who needs to hear her own name. Relationship with us is that important to God. No matter the walls that we build, the process that we must journey through, Jesus gently and lovingly is there along the way for us, for our true selves. This 40 days after Jesus is risen are all about the empty tomb. How do we process? Where is it that we meet Jesus along the way? On a road? In a locked room? On a beach? In a garden? Jesus sits with us in our darkness and does not let the hatred win. Instead, darkness itself is transformed into a place where stars can sparkle, where lightning bugs can flash and glitter, where meteors flare to life and race across the sky. There is no wall that we can build, no place that we go, no emotion too strong or offensive to chase away our loving God. Day by day and step by step, Jesus reminds us the empty tomb was proof that death was defeated. What we grieve and often fear the most is no obstacle for our God, nothing that will keep Jesus away. Knowing Mary is ready, Jesus sends her to carry the news to his brothers and sisters. Jesus is nudging each wall that we build, the walls that we think are our protections, dismantling our defensive barriers one brick at a time. God pulling down all of our walls so that we can sit together again, so that we know that we are each and every one beloved. Loved so much that wherever we look, God's hope will shine forth. The compassion, the love is the miracle of Easter, of Christ breaking into our lives. So what does it take to breach our walls? Whether you feel like a small little firefly or you feel like that blazing comet, no matter where we are bumbling along, even if we don't feel like we're enough, each of us are enough, and each and every one of us make an important difference, carrying Christ's hope to a broken world. Am I racing back to pretend everything is normal? Am I shutting my eyes really, really hard because I know I'm not enough? Sit with those genuine feelings this morning and be assured that God is with you in all and through all. God loves us that much, transforming ourselves one tiny bit at a time in a beautiful ministry of presence, reaching out to us through strangers and through friends in a world divided. Love wins. Hug a friend, smile at a stranger, hold a door open, pause in the doom scrolling, or remind someone that they too are loved. The tomb was empty to pull us each into the story. You, me, each and every one of us. It's an important part of the hope of the world wherever we look. So tell the world, even in the darkest of days, hope abides. There's nowhere you can go that God has not conquered already to walk by your side. When you're ready, share the miracle. I have seen the Lord. The tomb is empty. He is risen. Amen.